appreciate all of these songs. And Joe, I don't know exactly how we're kin, but I know we share the last name.
Yes,
amen.
Yes,
and so we'll figure it out one day. I have learned that when I run across an Agin somewhere down the line, an Agin in West Georgia, somewhere down the line, I'm kin to them. So I've had people come up to me and say, you know so-and-so? And I'll say, no, I don't know them, but we got the same last name. I'm probably kin. Amen. And so I appreciate that good song, man. One of my favorite songs. You took me back to when I was growing up. There was a man named Ray Moore, and he was the choir director at Liberty Baptist Church, and he would sing that song, and he would sing the notes off of that song. You remember that, Miss Tracy? And man, helped my heart, and then you singing it tonight helped me again. And I've sung it a lot of times where a lot of lonely nights, amen, where it couldn't be nobody but the Lord that could help me. And man, I appreciate that. And guys, y'all always knock my socks off, our young folks. Sarah, good job. Josh, good job. Guys, good job. Man, that helped my heart tonight, and I appreciate that. Ephesians chapter number 3, you know it, and I quoted it several times this morning. And verse number 20, the Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that you would take your word tonight and you would magnify it. I pray that I would be a mouthpiece, Lord, that I would just be just someone that is here, Lord, to do your bidding and to preach what you have given me to preach. I thank you for the privilege to stand in your pulpit again, Lord. I thank you for what you did here this morning. Now, God, I pray that you'll remind someone that you're still on the throne. Pray, God, that you'll help them as whatever they're facing, whatever they're going through, whatever the difficulty may be. God, I pray that today they would realize, they would understand that you are able to bring them through. Father, I pray if there be anyone under the sound of my voice that does not know you and the free pardon of sin, God, I pray that you would convict in their heart through your Holy Spirit. You would show them their lost condition and their need for salvation, and they would wondrously, gloriously be born again before it's everlasting too late. God, have your will in your way. Do more than I'm asking tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for reading along with me there in the book of Ephesians. And I guess if I had to title anything, if I wanted to preach this as a title, it would simply be, God is able. God is able. Amen. See, when it comes to God's abilities, we serve a limitless God. He has matchless grace. He has unparalleled provision. He has abundant love. And the person that limits God simply does not know God or what he's capable of. Amen? Some people read the Bible and they say, I don't believe that. It just couldn't happen. And then there's those of us that read the Bible and say, I believe it all. Amen? And I believe it happened exactly the way that I read it here in this blessed old book. Matthew 19 and verse number 26 says, with God all things are possible. Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things, I'm stuck here, amen, like old CD disc that's got a scratch in it, all things are possible if you believe. Thank God. At some point in your life, you have to make up your mind as to whether you're going to believe God or not. I'm going to tell a story on Luke. I don't think he'll mind me telling this, but years ago, he'll be 21 in June, so 7 years ago when he was 14 years old, he was going through a time in his life where he was questioning a lot of things. And let me tell you something. Here's what I found out. God's not afraid of your questions. Amen. God's not afraid of your insecurities. And God will answer your questions. And God will take time with you. And if you will get in His Word, God will meet that need. And so flash back to those 7 years when he was 14 years old. He was questioning some things, asking some spiritual questions, and making some bold spiritual statements. And that's all right. Every one of us go through that stuff. But I remember one night, night, he came in the bedroom where Tara and I were laying, and it was late at night, and he said something along the lines of, how do we know that we have the right religion? How do we know that what we believe is the right thing? And I said to him, son, I can't make up your mind for you. I can't do that for you. And mom and dad, you can't do it for your children either. Amen. You can't make them believe anything. Amen. You can't do that. But they have got to choose on their own. I told Luke that night, I said, son, you've got to make up your mind whether or not you will serve the God that I serve. You've got to make up your mind whether or not you will put your faith in the God of heaven and earth, or whether you will put your faith somewhere else. And I left it up to him, and he walked out of our room. We got him to close the door, and I looked over at Miss Tara. I said, we got to pray. Amen. Y'all all right? Your parents understand, we got to pray. And so we started praying. And I'd say because of what he's doing right now, that he made what I believe to be the right decision. Amen. And I thank God for that. And I'm not just saying that to cause his head to swell or anything like that, or mine either. I'm just simply saying that God can take what we think is impossible, or what we think he can't work in, and God can work in that thing. And God can use that thing for his honor and for his glory, and enable it to where we can look back and say, God did that. Not me, not my family, not my parents, not my grandparents, but God worked in my life, and God moved on my behalf, and God did a work in my heart that solidified my faith. God is able to do these things. In 2 Kings 19, Hezekiah is praying that God would protect Judah from Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. And so I'm going to take a few minutes. I'm still in introduction. We ain't made it to the points yet. Amen? Y'all all right? I didn't get to preach a whole long message this morning, and I knew I couldn't preach what I had this morning for tonight. I just knew that. I knew that this afternoon. I knew when we left here. I thought, well, I ain't going to ever get to preach that. Amen. That'll be okay. We'll let the Lord handle that. But in 2 Kings 19, verse number 15, the Bible says, and Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made the heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria had destroyed the nations of their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. So old Hezekiah has prayed God about this king who's come to do reproach. And Hezekiah is worried about the people of Judah, and he's not sure whether or not they're going to make it past this night and what's going to happen. And so he, instead of making war and going out with an army, he just decides that he will pray. He just decides that he will trust God. By the way, this is the same Hezekiah that prays and God spares him 15 years of his life. It's the same Bible character. But yet here is another story where God is doing something incredible. And God tells Isaiah the prophet, and we're studying that in Sunday school in the young adults class. Thank God they're listening. They're attentive. We're studying about a little bit about Isaiah. But Isaiah the prophet sends a message and tells Hezekiah to hear the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord does not describe to Isaiah what he's been praying about. Amen. Sometimes you folk come into church and you tell me when I get done preaching, you've been checking my mail. You've been following me around. You've been dealing with me. You've been hanging out with me. You've been talking to somebody that I know. No, friend, I ain't done it. I've just been trying to talk to the Lord, amen, and trying to get a hold of him. And so here is old Hezekiah, and Hezekiah prays to God, and God sends word through the prophet, and God simply says to Hezekiah, I heard your prayer. I want to announce to you tonight, if you've got on your face before God and prayed and called out to God, he's heard, child of God. He listens, child of God, and he knows what you're standing in need of. We still in introduction, amen? And so let me read to you the rest of the story, amen? If I can borrow his line, I might have to start a podcast. Some of the young guys are looking at me like, what in the world is he talking about? Amen. We got to introduce y'all to Paul Harvey. And so here is the rest of the story in 2 Kings 19, verses 32 through 36. The Bible says, therefore, thus saith the Lord, concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city. I heard your prayer. And he's not even going to come into the city. And he said, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same way shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians and 185,000. Fourscore is 80, 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. They woke up dead. Yeah, they woke up dead that morning. And the king sent a cherub, lived to see it. And they were all dead corpses, 185,000 of them. Verse 36 says, so Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. Hezekiah believed God, and you can too. Now, I'm not sure about my timeline here, but I think it's pretty amazing. The numbers are close. When old Jonah went to preach at Nineveh, where Sennacherib came from, and he walked through the town for 3 days' journey preaching, God saved. It was either 165,000 or 185,000. Y'all think that's not connected? The whole Word of God's connected. God is able. You say, preacher, that's incredible. That's amazing that God would do that. Well, my God, he's able. And that's what he did that day for old Hezekiah. Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so I want to question you tonight and ask you as I preach for the next couple of minutes, will you put your faith in God tonight? You put it in everything else. You've put your faith in the world. You've placed your faith in substance. You've placed your faith in materialism. You've placed your faith in pleasure for a little while. But will you give Jesus a try tonight? Will you give him a shot? And you say, oh, preacher, I just don't even know if I have any faith. Gateway, you've heard me say this before, but I couldn't help but just reiterate this point again. Friend, you've got faith. You know how I know that you've got faith? Because you came here tonight. What's that got to do with faith, preacher? See, you did something miraculous. You walked outside and you sat down in the car. Amen? And you didn't know whether or not that car was going to crank. But you still stuck your key in the ignition in faith that when you turned that key, that car was going to crank. You didn't know. You just had faith. Why? Because it had crunked before. And so you stuck that key in the ignition, you turn that thing, click, boom, and your car took off. You put it in drive, and you come on down, or put it in gear, whichever one you got, and you come on down to the church house, and you exercised faith in something so simple. Now, why is it that you'll not put your faith in God to take care of your soul? God is able. God is able. Number one here tonight, God is able to save to the uttermost. God is able to save to the uttermost. Hebrews 7:25, the Bible said, Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The word utmost or uttermost means the outermost regions, the farthest away, the most extreme, the most distant point. But it also means the greatest or the highest degree. That just tells me that God can save those who are the furthest away, and when he saves them, they are completely and utterly, totally, undeniably saved. I thank God that God is able to save people in the place where they are. 1 John 1:7 says, But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. No matter how far or how deep someone goes into sin, God is able to save them out of that sin. There's no such thing as a lost cause when it comes to the Lord. There's no such thing. Say, preacher, I'm too far gone. No, I haven't met one too far gone yet. Used to go down there to the Atlanta City Baptist Rescue Mission, and we would preach down there. Had the privilege to preach down there multiple occasions. There would be men down there that would, some of them be drunk, some of them be on a 2-3 day binge, and they come in there to get a meal. And if they get a meal, in order to get a meal down there, you gotta stay for the preaching. Get the preaching, and then you get to eat. Amen? Preaching and eating. You can tell that's all Baptist. There'd be men sitting down there, and you'd watch them as you begin to preach, and that God would just break their heart. Some of them come up to you at the end of service during invitation time and say, preacher, you don't know what I've done that got me into this place where I'm at right now. And it was always my great privilege to tell them, it doesn't matter what you've done. God's grace is amazing. Amen. God's grace is enough, and God will meet your need right where you are. There is no such thing as a person too far gone when it comes to God. There's nowhere that you can go that he can't reach you. There's no place too far that he can't come to where you are and reach down and pick you up and hug you up real good and tell you how much he loves you. There's no nobody that's that far gone that God's grace isn't amazing enough to reach out to and to pull them back in. You won't find a sinner that's got sin so great that it is more than the grace of God. You won't find a man so mean that God's grace can't meet him where he is. You won't find a drunkard in an alley somewhere that God can't pick him up and set his feet on a solid rock and establish his goings. You won't find somebody that's too far into the world that God can't get to them. Thank the Lord for the love of God which reaches out. Will you put your faith in that love and in him today? God is able, number two, to transform a life. I've seen him do it. I've seen him do it time and time again. I've seen God transform people over and over again. I've seen God work. Think of the man that was among the tombs in Mark chapter number 5. Can y'all turn there with me? Those of you who have your Bible to Mark chapter number 5. And most of you know this story. If you grew up in church or even grew up around the church, you've probably heard this story at some point in time. And Mark chapter number 5 is kind of a transitional chapter book. The book of Mark is wonderful, but chapter number 5, there's some interesting things that's going on. But in verse number 2, the Bible says, And when he was come out of the ship, that's Jesus, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been
been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine that we may enter in them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. They were subject to Jesus, y'all. Amen. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting. And he ain't running around no more. He ain't acting foolish no more. He ain't cutting himself no more. Hallelujah. He's not committing self-harm anymore. Amen. He's not damaging himself anymore. Woo! Some of you done got over what God does in people's lives. Hey, he's changed. You see a little old boy or a little old girl in our day and time cutting themselves, and some of you want to put your blinders on and think it don't exist no more. It happens every single day. Amen. Happens every single day. These little ones need Jesus. Amen. This man that had the problem, this man that had the similar situation as to what's happening in our culture today. On, when he met Jesus. Bless the Lord. Woo! When he met Jesus, amen, his life got changed. Amen. He was no longer the same. He wasn't running around. He wasn't acting foolish anymore. Thank God that man was seated and clothed. He wasn't naked no more. He was seated and clothed. And the Bible says, in his right mind.
Amen.
My. There are a lot of mental health issues that we see today that God is able to cure. Amen. He's given us doctors with wisdom to know how to work. Amen. Thank God for what he's doing. Thank God for what he'll do. And God is able to transform a life that's broken and ruined by sin. He can take a broken life and mend it. Jesus can turn your mess into a message. He can give hope to the hopeless. He can give life to the lifeless. He can cleanse the unclean. He can unbind the bound. Jesus can set free those that are captive. And Jesus can restore what has been ruined by the devil. He's well able. Luke 4:18-19 says, "The Spirit of the Lord," Jesus said this, "the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." After this man's encounter with Jesus, he's clothed and seated and in his right mind. Just imagine what Jesus can do in your life too.
Amen. Bless the Lord.
I have not seen Ear hath not heard, and neither has entered into the heart of man what God has in store for those that love him. You say, I'm a nothing, I'm a nobody. He ain't got no room for me. There's room for you at the foot of the cross. There's room for you. There's help for you. There's the ability to have your life transformed by the power and love of the Lord Jesus Christ that you can't even imagine how good he can be to you. I promise you, friend, the best is not past and gone. In Christ, the best is yet to come. My pastor used to tell a story about a little lady who would keep her fork. And she'd eat. Some of you have heard this before, and that'll be all right. I'll tell it like it's my own. Amen. She'd be sitting at dinner, and she'd always hold on to her fork. And one day she went out to dinner with her pastor, and her pastor noticed that she held on to that fork. And her pastor said, what are you doing with that? Why don't you get rid of your fork? Why don't you let it go with the other dirty dishes? She said, I'm holding on to my fork so I can eat my dessert. She said, preacher, the dessert's the best, and the best is yet to come. I'm just going to hold on to my fork. I'm just going to hold on to my spiritual fork, y'all. Amen. This is not the best I'm ever going to see. There's better days are coming. Amen. There's brighter days are coming. And if I end on earth my life tonight, if it stopped tonight, praise God, I'm going to a land of eternal day and eternal delight where they'll never come night ever again. There'll never be the darkness of the world. And no bad thing will ever enter into that place. Just like old Sennacherib didn't enter into Judah. There'll never be any sin come into heaven. Thank God. One of these days, my transformation will be finalized, Brother David. Amen. I'll rise up with that beautiful, perfect, transformed body. We don't need to go off into that. Number three. I got about 7 points. There's a lot of things God's able to do. Amen. Amen. I don't know if we're going to preach them all. You know something else God's able to do? God's able to keep you from falling. God's able to keep you from falling. Say, preacher, I've already failed. That's all right. He can pick you up too. Jude, verses 24 and 25. Jude's just one chapter. Jude is one book and one chapter. So you can say Jude 1. 24 and 25, or you can just say Jude 24 and 25. Either way, it's right. Amen? And so in the book of Jude, we read this, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen." John 10:28-30, still in the Bible. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, including you." You can't pluck yourself out of God's mighty hand. You can't pull yourself out of God's salvation. Somebody say amen right there. You're not strong enough to break the bands of love that he wrapped around your soul. He's still got a hold of you. My Father, he's greater than all. "And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands, and I and my Father are one," is what Jesus said. Romans 8:38-39, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God is not only able to save us, but he's able to keep us saved forever. It ain't me that keeps me saved. I promise you that. It ain't my good works that keep me saved. It is rare that my good works would outweigh my bad works. Oh, preacher, what you talking about? See, I know me. I know what a low-down, rotten scoundrel I am. I know me. I know what goes on up here. I know what thoughts invade my mind. And it is by God's good, amazing grace that I'm able to stand here before you this evening. Amen. And any other time that I'm enabled to stand in the pulpit, it is because of what God is able to keep me from. He's able to keep me from falling. God's able to fill your heart with joy. There's number four. It's kind of fun. Time out. It's kind of fun when I'm up here and I say the points and I'm giving it to you all that and you're looking at me and you're all in with it and then I see y'all go. That's encouraging. Time in. God is able to fill your heart with joy. 1 Peter 1:8, the Bible says, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Philippians 4:4 said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. Joy comes from Jesus. It is the fruit of the Spirit residing in your life. Amen. Thank God for what He's able to put in your life. Number five. See, I done told y'all that was seven. Seven is perfection, just so y'all know, in the Bible. But when I said 7 points, some of you went, what? God's able to use you in His service. God's able to use you in His service. 1 Corinthians 1:27 through 29, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. You say, oh, I'm just small. I'm just insignificant. God can't use me. How do you know He can't use you? You haven't given Him an opportunity yet. I don't know if God would even want to use me. Well, I just told you that He'll restore your life. I like, Brother Dorsey, I like those that's been through some trials. I like them that they've been led through the fire before. Amen. I like them that's had some troubled times and they've walked through it and there's a little wobbly while they're walking through it, but now they walk upright and they walk straight, amen, and they walk with the Lord. I like those that's got a little bit of life experience and also has experienced God's amazing grace in their heart and in their life, and they've watched Him move. We had two testimonies in here this morning, both of them talking about how God brought them to nothing. And they each said, because we was on the wrong path. We wasn't doing right. We wasn't living for the Lord. That's their own testimony. It wasn't our testimony. It wasn't what the preacher said. It's what they said. God is able to use you, yes, you, in His service. You know what else God's able to do? He's able to keep His promises. God made a promise to Abraham, and he kept it. All these years later, he's still keeping it. Genesis 26:4, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Malachi 3:12, and all the nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Galatians 3:8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. What we talk about Wednesday night. What are y'all? What are we? Y'all done forgot? We heathens. We heathens. Amen. We heathens. Y'all okay? Somebody looking at me like you want to throw a book at me. We heathens. God kept His promise that He would justify the heathen through faith. Preached before the gospel
unto Abraham. Wouldn't that have been something? That's always amazed me here in Galatians chapter 3. Several years ago, I did an extensive study in the book of Galatians. And when I came to this verse, man, it stopped me in my tracks. Because what I just read to you, we say it very quickly and very flippantly, and we don't really pay much attention to what was just said. But that little line there says that God would justify the heathen through faith. He preached that before the gospel to Abraham. Abraham heard God preach. Y'all didn't get that. Abraham was a one-man congregate. Amen? He was the congregation. And God in heaven stopped by and preached to Abraham what he would do for you and I. We read it in Galatians 3:8. He preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. Do you know that because the nation of Israel exists, we know what salvation is? Because Israel is a people, we have Jesus, who is our Savior. That's the gift. That's the promise. It's called the Abrahamic Covenant in the Bible. And that is the promise that God gave to Abraham when he preached to him that through Christ Jesus, through Abraham's seed, the entire globe would be blessed. And to this day, he's still setting people free. Last one. Perfection. God is able to raise us from the dead. John 6:39 says, and this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all that which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Verse number 40 in John chapter 6 says, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse number 44 said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. 10 verses later, in verse number 54, we read, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I just gave you four passages of Scripture in the same chapter of the Bible that let us know that God will one day raise us from death. Thank God for the privilege of the believer. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:14 says, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Amen. Years ago, I was talking to one of my cousins, and we were talking about graves and cemeteries, or if you come from where I come from, graveyards. And he said, well, how's that going to work? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, when we buried my daddy, they set that great big old vault lid on top of him. And he said, I just don't know how he's going to come up out of the ground. He's got the dirt, the vault lid, the casket. How's he going to get through all that? I told him this. I said, I'm not 100% sure exactly what God's going to do. But I do know that the same God, this same Jesus, Acts chapter number 2, this same Jesus, chapter number 1, which you see ascending into heaven, is coming again in like manner. And we'll rise to meet him in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us that the Lord himself shall descend with the shout, with the trump of God and the voice of the archangel. And those same workings
that went down there to the tomb of Jesus, Brother Billy, and rolled that old heavy stone away, is the same power that's coming after me one day. And I don't have to worry. You know why? Because He's done it before. God was faithful then. He'll be faithful in the future. And God is able right now. What are you standing in need of? What are you lacking about putting your faith into Him for? Preacher, I don't know if He can do this in my life. I don't know if God can change this in my life. Why don't you try Him? Why don't you try Him? I'll even give you a money-back guarantee. We'll give you a lifetime guarantee. If you will try Him, if you'll be faithful, if you'll pray, get in that Bible, get into church, and then come to me 10 years from now and tell me I've been doing this faithfully for 10 years and God ain't blessed me once, I'll give you all your time back. Y'all know I ain't got the ability to do that. It sounds real good. I was a salesman in a past life. Why don't you try Him? He don't really need no selling. But He is well able to meet you where you are and supply whatever need you have. Paul put it like this in Ephesians 3 and verse number 20. I read it at the beginning of this thing. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God's power, it can work in you just like He has in many others. Brother Roy, would you come get us a song of invitation, please? If y'all make your way to the instruments. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I ask You to move. God, I ask You to have Your will and Your way in this invitation time. Lord, I've watched You too many times do exceeding abundantly above what I ask or thought. Lord, I watched You just this week bring three or four families through some great trials. Lord, while some are still in the midst of those trials, I know, Lord, that You're walking with them. And God, I believe that You're able to bring them through it. Father, I pray that You will be a very present help in their time of need. God, You will strengthen, uplift, and encourage in the only way that You can. You will help the people of our church and meet their need. Lord, I ask this in Jesus' holy name. Would You stand with us tonight while we sing?